This is Alive with Joseph.
Tonight we're going to look at Psalm 23, the book of Psalm 23. So we will now start with verse number 1. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, this is a psalm of King David. He understood what shepherding is. So he was speaking from experience. So when he says that the Lord is his shepherd, he's got full understanding of what a shepherd is, how a shepherd should behave, how a shepherd tend for the sheep. Hallelujah. These are animals. So they have a certain understanding. Now, we are not animal. Made in the image and the likeness of God. Praise the Lord. Now, he says that the Lord is my shepherd. See, it means that he is my companion. So, he is with me. He's by my side. He leads me. So, Lord is owner. From the word landlord, right? Lord is owner. So as I am, I'm owned by Christ. So he preserves, he provides, he guides, and he perambulates. Perambulate is, well, if you check at the border posts, you will find soldiers with their guns working like this. They're guarding the border posts. I'm not talking about the border in South Africa, but the real borders. Sorry, online family. Talking about a serious border where soldiers perambulate. It means they are on guard. That's the shepherd. Now, our shepherd speaks of himself. He says in John 10, 11, he says, "I am the good shepherd." This is him saying about himself. He's now telling us who he is. He's giving us his resume. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him. And he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the shepherd. Then he says, 'I am the good shepherd.'" He's putting a stamp on it. "I know my sheep and they know me." Did you see that video? They responded. There were other shepherds. There were other voices that they heard. So we don't accept strange voices. There's a voice that we hear. There's a voice specially given to us. We hear that voice. We reject every other voice. He says, "I am the good shepherd." So we have a relationship with him. Then he says, "He is my shepherd." So there is now a personalization of this shepherd according to each one of us. So it is according to your specification who that shepherd is, to you. It is how you believe what the shepherd does that gives you a relationship, that makes your relationship with him. If you think that is a shepherd that is coming to punish and beat you up, that is the shepherd according to what you believe. But if he says, "I'm a good shepherd," believe that. He is good. So he is the personification of goodness. Hallelujah. Then he says, "I shall not want." So we cast our care upon him because he cares. So if he cares, he then provides. Hallelujah. "In him, I have essence and meaning of life." Then it means I will not fail. Praise the Lord Jesus. Stay with me. Verse number 2. "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. It is he who makes me and gently nurture me. He consoles me. I find consolation in Christ. I don't compete with him to be in position of leadership. I don't take his position. I don't go ahead of myself to try and find my solution, to build solutions for myself. Else, you know, we'll come back with one leg." See, so I trust and rely on his ability to make me rest in peace. I lie down before you move. I lie down before you move, O Lord. Now, it means that if you are instructed to go somewhere, you don't find your way before the Lord says, now you are established to go. I like telling my daughter, let God introduce you. Don't introduce yourself, because, again, you will come back with one leg. Which means that there is suffering. Which means that you are crying all the time because you are on your own. You went before the shepherd. So the shepherd now arranges a way so that you can be launched. In whatever it is, you don't rush into marriage. Please go and check Turn Up Tuesday, yesterday's Turn Up Tuesday. It's powerful. It is really powerful. Now, Proverbs chapter number 3, verse 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinion. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. He is the good shepherd. Remember. So the key here is, become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. Hallelujah. So you are led to advance, not just to keep the steps or to move. You are led to advance. So there is goodness in your advancing. It means that, remember, God doesn't say give up something just so that you can give it up. No. If he says give up something, it means there's something better for you. Hallelujah. So that is the nature of God. That's the nature of God. Whenever God says, wait, there is good in it. There is good in it. So we don't just move for the sake of motion. We are led. Hallelujah. Verse number 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Restoration is his plan for you and I. You are not disqualified. Remember, you are not disqualified. So do not disqualify yourself. Do not think that you cannot be led. Do not think that I have offended God, therefore I don't qualify to be led by God. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Let not your emotions disqualify you from Christ. Amen. Now, we have no righteousness of our own. Remember, we receive the gift of righteousness. We receive the gift of righteousness. We cannot establish righteousness. It is him who imparts righteousness to us so that we can meet the standard of the Son of God. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are led in his purpose, though the path may be unpopular. Though you may be caused to walk alone on that path. If the Lord is saying this is your path, take it. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter number 5, verse 16 to 17 says, and the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. This was Adam. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness for all who receive it. All who receive it. So there must be a reception on yourself. You must receive. You must be able to discern and see. You've got to receive this righteousness which God has given us as a gift. Then he says that it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Remember, he says, many went astray, but the Lord has delivered us from destruction. Praise the Lord Jesus. He says, I have sinned. Remember, on Sunday, Pastor shared with us that I have sinned and I'm forgiven because of his name. Remember that. That was so powerful. It is not because of us. He says, because of his name, we are forgiven. Hallelujah. Verse number 4, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and staff, they comfort me. So, walking in the valley is inevitable. It is impossible to avoid. Please understand, it is impossible to avoid. We don't work Christianity plastic. The sun just gets a little hot. These things don't work. Easy. So this thing of thrill of chase. Redemelamudimuso. This is a thrill of chase. God, if you are there, you want me to go this way, do this. If you don't, if they called me to an inyanga somewhere. Look, we understand that there are pressures of life. Yes, we understand that there are situations that can beat you up and bring you down, such that you are desperate. We understand that. But remember, it is in the valley. Stay. It is in the valley. You will come out. The valley is not the final destination. It is not designed for you to stay there. It is not final. Praise the Lord. It is not final. See, in the valley, the roadmap may not be, given you that, okay, now we are in the valley. This is how you will come out. But now, even if the roadmap is not revealed, we look unto the shepherd. This is the author of our faith, the originator of our faith. In the valley, endurance is built. Character is built. There is correction in the valley. Trust is built. Wisdom is gained. Godliness is imparted. Identity is discovered. Hey, in the valley, we discover that we are created and we need the creator so that we can come out. Praise the Lord Jesus. Look at Jeremiah 10 verse 23. He says, I know that mere mortals can't run their own lives. So we don't look up to men so that we can fashion our lives after God to men, especially men of the world. That's what I'm talking about, men in the world. We don't look to men of the world. Men of the world, please hear me. Hallelujah. He says that men and women don't have what it takes to take charge of their lives. Then he says, so correct us, O God, as you see best. Don't lose your temper. Hey. That would be the end of us. Venge your anger on godless nations. What's the same thing talking with him? Jeremiah. And on the people who won't pray to you. So if you don't join the 5 o'clock prayer. He says, and on the people who won't pray to you. Now, look at this. It shows that these people were deserving of God's anger. I mean, why would he say, don't be angry with us? There's something they did, which make him aware that, hey, if he respond with his anger, he will finish us. We will be done. Hallelujah. Mara, look at this. In the valley, now there's bitterness. There's pain, there's rebellion, there's betrayal. There's fear, there's doubt, sickness is hopelessness. There's pride, there's strife and unforgiveness. In the valley, remember, it is not the final destination. Hallelujah. Now, look at this. Unforgiveness is like gangrene. That thing eats up. So if you stay there in the valley, it means that you will destroy. It is bitterness that defiles a man. Remember, if I'm harboring bitterness, before God, I'm defiled. Because it is him who gives the standard. I may appear holy to you and okay, but if I have bitterness, it is God who knows that I'm harboring bitterness. This is in the valley. So he says that let no root of bitterness, let it not be found among you. Let it not be found among you. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. So Ephesians 4 verse 31 says, let all bitterness and indignation and wrath, passion, rage and bad temper, and resentment, that is anger and animosity and quarreling, brawling and clamor, contention and slander, evil speakings, abusive and or blasphemous language, yes, be banished from you with all malice, spite, ill will, or baseness of any kind. So you beat up the nose to spite the face. You beat it up just so that the face can feel the pain. It is the same body. Hallelujah. Now, I want to talk about my fellow husbands. The one who is able to lift up the holy hands and lay on the wife with intensity. Not to pray, but so that you can reconfigure that face. Such that tomorrow the wife won't be able to go to work. She'll be having the blue makeup here because the man of God has passed by. This is in the valley. As painful as it is, it must not be. The good shepherd won't do that to that sheep. Praise the Lord. He won't do that. Remember, he says that a man who is held in honor and does not know, he is like that animal just waiting to die, waiting to be destroyed. You are held in honor. God is saying, this is my son. I love this one. But the son doesn't know. Then he goes and beat up this one. He says, no man yet hates himself. So he says, even so, husbands should love their wives as being in a sense their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. Keitata. For no man ever hated his own flesh. So this is the scripture where we were able to give people who want to commit suicide counseling. That you don't actually hate yourself. There is a whisper. Somebody's whispering to you. You don't hate yourself. You cannot. Hallelujah. He says, for no man hates his own flesh, but nourish it and carefully protects and cherish it. As Christ does the church, he serves and satisfies us as members of his body. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we enter wife. Why use the mouth to bring destruction to your family? I'm not saying there aren't wives who are like, who have the feasts, Amanda feasts. I'm not saying that. There are. They have Amanda feasts. Hallelujah. A wife. Who ha? So, now, these wives, they release those arrows. They pierce. The words are, there's a man who came here, I think earlier this year, he said to me that, you know, I was rejected by men. Some men that he was doing some deals with. He was rejected, he said. Then, in confusion, he was home wondering, but why are those people rejecting me like this? Then, while he was telling his wife, the wife said, because you think you're important. The man was reconfigured. He was, you understand. But the wife later came and she said, I don't believe in these things of you and submission and of Christianity, and I don't believe in those things. We find Christians who are called by the name of the Lord having the same character. They are named with the family of Christ, but the heart is so far from him, such that you find such words that they pierce. So this man is brought low, beaten up. The guy was, he was lying flat. He says, I'm confused. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Let it not be your testimony. Amen. Proverbs 21 verse 9 says, it is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop on the flat oriental roof, exposed to all kinds of weather. Hey, all kinds, whether pulayana, whether it's all kinds of weather, than than in a house shared with a nagging, nagging wife, quarrelsome and fault-finding woman. You can't focus. I mean, imagine how that man felt. The man is from Nigeria. That man is from Nigeria. With his wife, with his Nigerian wife, they came here. He says, man of God, I don't even know what she's saying. Like she says so many things. Now, the Bible says it is better to live on the roof. We will not put the, not inside, because inside there's no weather anchor. So it's outside. You are beat by hail. It's better there than the ministry of talking. So take it easy. Take it easy when I'm ready. You see, look at the house. It is rearranged by words. But a man rather sit there. Proverbs 21, a man, that red thing is the man, is better there. He's okay there. Weather happened, but the man would rather be there than in the house. All right, let's move on. Sorry. Proverbs 19, verse 14 says, you are prudent. See, look at what the Lord is saying. He says, you are prudent. You are wise. You deal carefully. You guide with knowledge because you are from God. Now, this is your true identity. You are wise. Put it on. Believe it. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my young people whom I love, let not the devil correct you. My young people, my kids, so let not the devil correct you. It means if it's the devil correcting you, understand this. You will come back, not with one leg. You will come back if you are a girl with a child, because you went ahead of time. His correction is destruction. Mama is talking to you at home, but hey, she didn't know. And some parents, why are you afraid of the child? What happened? God gave you that child. Or at least you have that child. Deal with that situation. If the child is giving you trouble, this is our life church. Bring that child here. There's Kovoko. If Kovoko ikapal, we enter fasting. But the child would have received Kovoko first if she proves stubborn. Praise the Lord. So that we make this one either straight. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the church of God. It must be said that, hey, if you want any quality, go to that church. You want to have people of quality. That church, you see that church? It preaches truth. Let it be known. Because they would have seen truth in you, from you. At school, you are truth. You're not pretending. My young people, remember what he says about you. 1 John 2, verse 14b. I write to you, young people, because you are strong. It means you are tested. He says you are strong. It means it's true. The word of God lives in you, and you have defeated the evil one. You see, you have defeated the evil one. He is defeated. So he doesn't have any authority or power to come and correct you. Praise the Lord. Now, remember, confusion and peer pressure are not permanent. They are not permanent. You can handle them. He said you are strong. Stay there. Hallelujah. You are made of an excellent and quality material. So your texture, I see, you're not made of fake. You're not. Hallelujah. So your texture is superior. Don't go down. Don't compromise. Barua Baeza. To who? Hi, you are lost. Where am I going? If you are saying I'm lost, where am I going? Since you know. So peer pressure is really temporary, my young people. Don't give in. Hallelujah. My lovely parents, my co-parents. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 4 says, do not treat your children in such a way as to make them angry. This is not so that my young people, you can say, yeah, easy. Because this scripture is brought as a retaliation to what you want to do or what you have done. Then the parent beef is bringing order. You say, yeah, they say, don't make me angry. So he says that parents, do not treat your children in such a way as to make them angry. Instead, raise them with Christian discipline and instruction. Remember, in church, there must be that discipline. Hallelujah. There are also parents who are enablers. Compassionate, loving to the destruction of their children. He was doing drugs. Now he's done. He's like, he's not doing it anymore. So just give him, R1,000. It's okay. This one, he's grown. He's grown up. He doesn't do those things anymore. Don't worry. It's enablers. Hallelujah. So such order should be brought in church. This is all in the valley. Because if God would be glorified, it starts from the family setup. It starts from our family setup to understand who this God is so that we're able to move. Hallelujah. Now, the enablers, they are sympathetic. And they are sympathizers of sin. This is Romans chapter number 1. God doesn't like it. He doesn't. So, if you understand or you know that you have such a situation at home, don't pamper that situation. Don't pamper. Don't. It is wrong. Hallelujah. So while you go through the valley, we see a shadow. That is the evidence of light. So it means our shepherd is present. Hallelujah. A shadow is only informed by light. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. So in him there's comfort. So we have no reason to fear. All these things that I've mentioned in the valley, we are able now to give them to the Lord. The good shepherd. Hallelujah. Then he will now make a way. That way that is not yet revealed, you will now start seeing it. So if he says take one step, take the step. The second one will show. Then the road will just become clear and clear. As you move, don't wait. Take a step and the shepherd will empower. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. So I mentioned that in him we find comfort. Because he said, I will never leave nor forsake you. It wasn't a lie. He says that, I will never leave you helpless. It is not a lie. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. So there's help in Christ. God is not far, Banamrena. He is not far. If he says, I will never leave, it means he's there. Understand this. He is there with you. He is there. He is there. He is there. He's there. He's not far. He is there. He's there. He's here. Remember, he said, where two or three are gathered. Understand this. God has given us his word. We live by this word. We accept the word and move. Hallelujah. Now, he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This is strength and authority of the shepherd to protect and bring his sheep into a place of provision and safety. He is not afraid of the enemy. And the enemy, they know. Enemies know that the shepherd is not afraid, but the sheep could be afraid. So if you're afraid, you will now, staganyana. But as you stagger, call on the Lord. Call on the good shepherd. He will give you direction. Hallelujah. The rod is a symbol of protection and ability to fend off danger and hurt. The staff is to hook a sheep from danger and difficult valleys into pasture for provision. Also used to bring back the wayward sheep. Wayward sheep. You know, the staff has that hook. Anchor. So maybe if a sheep falls over, he's able to hook it with a leg and then bring it back. Then you find the strays, goats. That's a character. The sheep has a character of a goat. Hey, they don't hear, they don't listen, those ones. They don't listen. Join 5 o'clock prayer, I'll let us slumber. Goat. But we're working on you. The Lord help you, amen. Verse number 5 says, for you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup runs over. So I walk out of the valley into victory with spoil. My shepherd is an expert in war. He's a general. My enemies are also witnesses to my restoration. We know he couldn't last. But they see you going on and on and on and on and on in Christ. Then he says that he lays a table before you in their presence. So they see. They have to witness it. So that they would know who this God is. Hallelujah. So I'm protected from them. So when the Lord prepared this table before you, in their presence, they see you. You're protected from them while you enjoy. Hey, this is the goodness of God. Remember, this is a shepherd who parting blades. The border is you here. Yes, the border is you. You are guarded by this shepherd. He doesn't have a gun. He's got the weight. He's light. Hallelujah. So the anointing mean I cannot harm myself. Neither can they. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Zechariah chapter number 9 verse 12 says, return to the stronghold of security and prosperity, O prisoners of hope. Even today, I'm declaring that I will restore double your former prosperity to you and firstborn among nations. Hey, I will restore double your former prosperity to you. This is the word of God. This is the word of God. Believe it, Wanamrena. Believe it. Believe this word. He says, I will restore to you. It is true. Hallelujah. I would like you to declare after me, even as we continue. My prosperity is restored. I am elevated. I'm empowered in Christ. I'm anointed. I'm shielded from harm. I rule in the midst of my enemies. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Then verse number 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're talking about Psalm 23 here. All these things that we are saying, this is Psalm 23. So now, this is assurance of his unchanging character to eternity. It is not guilt and the past which shall follow you, but goodness and mercy dispersed daily. Daily, daily. They are new every morning. New. Great is that faith. Great is that faithfulness. Hey! But it is not according to how we feel that today I did this, Miss Mercy is not here. Be careful of that. It is not how you feel that disqualifies you from mercy. Mercy is dispatched. Accept it. Understand that mercy is dispatched. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. The punishment of our sins is canceled because of his loving kindness. Praise the Lord. Now, this is the destination. This is the destination. It is where we dwell. We abide in him. It is not a temporary address. It is permanent. We live in his mercy. We dwell in the house of the Lord. That is now the final destination. We understand that, okay, now I have arrived. If you're going to come to my house and I'm the host, it means that I'm going to take care of you. So it means that anything that you need within my authority and power to provide, I will provide. So now with Christ, this is the final destination, the good shepherd. So we are now brought into his house. Hallelujah. He says forever. Right. Job chapter number 33, verse 23 to 28, the message says, but even the angel could come, a champion. There are thousands of them to take up your cause. A messenger who would mercifully intervene, canceling the death sentence with words. I have come up with a ransom. Before you know it, you are healed. The very picture of health. The very picture of health. Or you may fall on your knees and pray. To God's delight, you will see God smile and celebrate. Hey, finding yourself set right with God. This is now the gift of righteousness. You will sing God's praises to everyone you meet. testifying, I messed up my life. And let me tell you, hey, let me tell you. He says, this is now from the mouth of the sheep. He says, let me tell you, it wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it for me to mess up my life. It wasn't worth it for me to give up. It wasn't worth it for me to stay in the valley. It wasn't worth it for me to give to peer pressure. It wasn't. Hallelujah. Then he says, but God stepped in. Aye. Oh Lord. But God stepped in and saved me from certain death. I'm alive again, alive church. I'm alive again. Once more, I see light. Hey, hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Psalm 23 is not just to recite. Please, do it with understanding. Knowing that the Lord is indeed good. He is for you. He is for you. Praise the Lord. May we be on our feet. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Spirit of God.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you are blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mogocha. Till next time, God bless.